verse 14, he says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Those that are saved by the grace of God, they were saved and sanctified in Christ. And he says, "Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us." The Holy Spirit is our, not only a witness to us, but he's a teacher that teaches us. The Holy Spirit, he teaches. He's the comforter that our Lord promised that he would send. He said, "If I go away, I'll not leave you alone, but I'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he'll teach you. He'll show you the things of mine." So that's the same Holy Spirit. There's not two Holy Spirits. "Also a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord." A covenant that was agreed upon by God the Trinity. He'd make with his people, the people that he saved and sanctified. He called and sanctified. He chose and sanctified in Christ before time ever was. He's going to make a covenant. He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm put my law in their hearts. I'll write the truth in their hearts. And in their minds will I write them the truth. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. I blot them out," I told you this morning. "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness," liberty, having liberty, freeness, boldness, "to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God," that's the Lord Jesus, "made after the order of Melchizedek, had no mother, no father, an endless life, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water," the pure Word of God. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." What he said he'll do. Whatever God has said he'll do, let's hold fast to our faith without wavering. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." That is, at the appointed time, which is ordinarily, generally speaking, on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, And then in the middle of the week on Wednesday evening, those that are saved and sanctified consider it a great blessing to be able to depart from the folly and foolishness of this world for a season and meet with those that are like-minded to worship their Maker and to sing praises and encourage one another. Let's not forsake that. That always bothered me, and I've said a whole lot about it in my lifetime. It always bothered me from the time the Lord opened my understanding. I tasted of the love of God that was shed abroad in my poor soul. I thought it was important. There wasn't much I could do openly to show my love for Him. But I could do that. I could meet with the brethren when they met. And by the grace of God, He helped me to do that all my life. My spiritual life, I've done that. And I thank God that He's enabled me to do it. I can be charged probably with many things, but this is not one of them. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'll quit there. Well, bear with me for a few minutes and we'll go home. I want to say a few more things that I feel like I ought to say from this passage that I read to you this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, where it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God is the best teacher that a man can have. No man knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God. And if we ever know anything of God, it'll be that which the Holy Spirit teaches us. In chapter 14 of the book of John, it says this. Verse 16. Our Lord said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, not pay to you, but shall give. He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Verse 17. "Even the Spirit of Truth," that's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. He's speaking now to these select ones that he chose unto himself. These apostles. He called every one of those apostles. None of them volunteered. None of them held up their hand and said, I want to join your happy band. I want to join your company and travel with you in your evangelistic tours. I volunteer my talent. I sing. I play the piano. I tell jokes. I tell funny stories. There's fishermen for the most part. Unknown. Common stock. He called them as he would. Called Peter from his nets and his boat. And all he said was follow me. They dropped everything and followed him. And they went everywhere with him. They left their families. Some of them had families. Peter had a family. He had a wife. Because the Bible says his mother-in-law laid sick of a fever. Our Lord went in and laid hands on her. Peter left his family. Left everything. Left them for 3 years. Not 3 days. Wasn't no short campaign. Like some of these evangelists, you know, go across the country and have these special meetings, you know. I'll be there for 3 days. Peter went with him for 3 years. Our Lord was with him. Listen to what it says. The same about the Spirit is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, this Holy Spirit, to teach you. So I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll leave the Spirit here. And look in verse 26, this same chapter. It says now, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, over here in the third chapter of the book of Revelation is another passage that I'll read in light of that. In this third chapter, in the third verse, God sends an angel to the church of Sardis, and unto the angel is the preacher. So God sends this revelation through John to the angel, the preacher of the church in Sardis. But this, in this second verse, is what I want you to see. The third verse. He says to him, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. What you've received and what you've heard. Now I'll read again that verse in 1 Corinthians 2 where it says, What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, which is the opposite of the Spirit of God, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We might know the things, the knowledge of the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, the knowledge of these gifts are freely given. The knowledge of them. Now, I think I said to you this morning that we cannot savingly know the things of God by just reading about them. Neither can they be taught to us from a book. The head learns by nature, but the heart must learn by the grace of God. The way to know the things of God is for you and I, who make a confession of being saved and sanctified, chosen by God in Christ before time ever was, and here in time God found us and called us, and the Holy Spirit is in us and with us to teach us the things of God and the truth of God. And the way to know the things of God is for that which is written in the book of God to be also written upon the heart. By the same Spirit that wrote the book. It's the Spirit that writes the book under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Holy men of old, inspired of God, moved by the Spirit, penned the truth in that which we call the Bible. And that which is written in this book can't be learned with just our head. It's got to be taught to us by the Spirit of the living God. These truths concerning that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, these truths, unshakable, unalterable, precious, lasting truths of God concerning what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, must be written upon the heart of flesh. Now, I think I said this morning that I've heard of faith. I heard about faith. I heard preachers preach about faith. But I never knew faith until I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And then I knew something about faith. And again, what is true without faith, or what is true with faith, is also true with the forgiveness of sins. I never knew anything about the forgiveness of sins. I'd heard about forgiveness of sins, but I didn't know anything about forgiveness of sins until I was, by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I found out by the Spirit something about the forgiveness of sins, that they were blotted out, and if they were blotted out, they couldn't be written down again. And that He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And when I understood the way of salvation by substitution, that my sins were in the infinite wisdom of God gathered up in a bundle, my past and present and future was all lumped together and laid upon my sinless sacrifice, and He paid what was due my sins. He paid exactly the amount that was due by way of punishment, and I'm debt free because He paid that for me. So when I was washed in the blood, I found out something about the forgiveness of sins. Now, I read about justification by faith, but I was never justified till by faith I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my righteousness. Now, these things I learned and was taught, I believe, by the Spirit of God, because I didn't get them by reading the book. I didn't get them by reading the Bible. I got them from Him who taught me. And the reason I know that it was the Spirit of God is because that which I've received was given to me by Him, and the same Spirit who gave these things to me made me to understand these things, and now I not only understand them, but I enjoy them. When you enjoy these truths, it's because the Spirit of God has enlightened you and taught you these truths. That's how you... And they're with you forever. You never give them up. You hold fast to them. You're not going to abandon them. They're written on the fleshly tables of your heart. Well, ask the Spirit of God to enable you to receive the things of God freely. And when you possess them, that's when you'll know them. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. How did he know that? The Spirit of God taught him that. In Damascus, he was there for 3 years. He said, I did not get these things from Gamaliel. Neither did I get them second-handed from Peter or John or Andrew or any other disciple. He said, when God unhorsed me on the road to Damascus, He sent me over in this particular place in Arabia for 3 years. And He said, God taught me these things. The Holy Spirit taught me these things. So He says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. He said, I know the person whom I have believed. And He said, I am persuaded, I'm convinced that He, this person, is able to keep what I've committed unto Him against the day of judgment. I know it. I enjoy it. I revel in it. That's what He said. He said, I'm determined
I'm determined to know nothing of your conversation, of your jabbering, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Holy Spirit taught him that. He enjoyed that. Everywhere he went, that's all he talked about. He said there's nothing else to talk about. Nothing else to know. If you know this, there's nothing else you can know over beyond this. The Spirit taught him that. So, if you and I desire to know more of the infinite preciousness of these gifts, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, then we go to the Spirit of God, see? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He knows these things. He knows the mind of God. He teaches these things. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher. There's no instructor like the Holy Spirit. His knowledge surpasses all other knowledge. Why? Because He knows the mind of God. No one else knows the mind of God save the Spirit of God. He knows it. And He was given to us to be in us and to be with us to teach us. All God's children, the Bible says, shall be taught. They'll find out who Christ is and what He done, why He done, where He's at and what He's doing. The Spirit will teach them that. They'll grow in that. They'll enjoy it. He knows the mind of God. There is no being taught effectually except the Spirit of the living God teaches you and I. He'll write these truths on the fleshly tablets and tables of our heart. And they'll be so indelibly imprinted that they can never be erased. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That never perish shall never be erased. People in our day, the world's full of people talking about a little old sissified Jesus who's trying to do something but He can't do it because people won't let Him do it. Save you one day and then you're lost the next day. When the Spirit of God teaches you who Christ is, what He's done, you'll understand what I'm talking about when I say they shall never perish. They'll never be lost if Christ saves them. It depends on who your Savior is. If you saved yourself, you'll lose it. But if God saves you, you won't lose it. If your salvation is by accident, don't amount to much. But if God saved you on purpose, then you'll be saved. You must feed on these things to have full enjoyment of them. They must be constantly set on the table before you. You can't always have milk and bread to soak up your bread and milk and your oatmeal and pablum and things for babies. You got to have the food and the truth of God laid upon the table, that you can feed upon it, that you might have full enjoyment of them. The things of God are best known by a personal enjoyment of them. You can't know meat and drink except by living upon them. Unless you eat the meat and drink the drink, then you know something about what meat is and what drink is because you eat and drink them every day. Well, I myself, I don't need a sermon or a lecture on bread. All I want to know, I know about bread. I eat bread every day. I know all there is to know about it. I need to know about spiritual matters. I need to know about the bread of God. I'm the bread of life, the Lord Jesus said. That's the bread I need to know about. And the only way I can know about it is when it's laid before me and the Spirit applies it to me. And then I can know it and enjoy it. What we need, all of us, is to go to the high school of heaven. We talked before church about the schools and how they used to be and how they are, and how men imagine them to be here in the future. But we need to go to the high school of heaven. There's no tuition to pay either. You go to college and even to high school or even to the first grade. You may not have to, at the outset, pay some tuition, but before that child gets through the 12th grade, it'll cost you a lot of money. And it's not over with yet. If they go on to college, there's a tuition there that you won't believe. It goes on and on and on. But the school I'm talking about, it's all free. Ain't no tuition there. Ain't no tuition. Anybody that wants to enroll can enroll there. Because it's a place where sinners are made saints. So that school, it's the school of God, and the Spirit of God is the teacher. And there's one subject that he dwells upon, and that's God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he teaches about him. And he's a good instructor. You see, everything's free at this school or this university. It's where we learn about repentance and we learn about faith. We learn that eternal life is the gift of God in its reception, and it's the gift of God at the end of our lives. It's always a gift. When we first, by faith, receive eternal life, it's a gift of God. And if we live to be 90 or 100 years old and about to die, it's still the gift of God. We learn these things in the school of God. And this school is a great school. And the diploma that you get when you graduate from this school is a diploma of humbleness and humility. Because if you know anything, when you come out of this school, if you know anything, it's because you've been taught it. If you possess anything, it's been given to you. As a matter of fact, when it's all said and done, in regard to you and I who are believers and followers of the Lamb of God, we're children of charity. Everything we have has been given to us. The clothes on your back has been given to you by God. They're furnished to you by the Lord's grace, the Lord's favor. The bread that's in your mouth from time to time is only the provision of His love. I'm telling you, when you come out of this school being taught by the Spirit of God, you'll find out that a proud saint is a contradiction of terms. There's no such thing as a proud saint. What's he got to be proud of? What do you have that you have not received? Pray tell me. Absolutely. You see, this salvation of God is so arranged where God gets all the glory and He don't leave a yard of space for you to boast. Everything you have, you got from Him. The knowledge of what you got from Him, the effect of it, tends to make the individual a generous person. He's not a tightwad. He's not stingy. He'll give what he has freely and generously. If the Spirit of God has made us to know the things of God that was freely given to us of God, we'll be generous in trying to tell somebody else what God's done for us in Christ. We don't believe that the grace of God is a secret that only we know, and we're going to keep it to ourselves. We've got a monopoly on it. We are made generous. What we got, we receive from God as a free gift of God. And we didn't earn it, and not entitled to it. It's not a prize given to us for a race we've run and won. It's given to us not worthy of it. And we're free to give it away and tell others about it. Tell it out. You say, well, I'm not as creative as some people are. I don't have a wealth of illustrations that I can use to set forth what's in my heart. I've got no unique or particular style that I can, in language or in the use of words, that would make me appealing, or what I've said to other men. What can I do? Well, just all you got to do is tell what you know. Tell what God's taught you in plain words. Five words spoken in the Spirit have far more power than 2 hours of self. No man can tell you what he doesn't know. But if the Spirit has told him and taught him something, and he knows something, he's able to tell it. That's what I'm talking about. No one knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God. May He be our teacher and teach us some of the things that I've said, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. Everything I have, everything I hope to have, I've received from Him. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greeks. I'm the debtor to all men. I'm a debtor to God. The Lord help us and teach us. We might know the things of God. They're all free gifts. Let's stand.